This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lee Chui Lin, reluctantly of House Hufflepuff on my Nimbus 2001, accompanied by Sun Hing of Slytherin on his Firebolt. If you're wondering why we're talking like this, I suspect you might not need an introduction to Harry Potter unless you've been banished to Azkaban since 1997. And if that's the case, today might be a good day to catch up with Daniel Clarkson and James Percy, who are familiar with the students of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Front Row on The Bigger Picture today is stopping firmly at platform 9 3/4. Very nerdy right now. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
That was the best
introduction I've ever had.
That was so exciting.
That was amazing.
Well, it's exciting to nerds of Potter, which I assume is what you are.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm a Hufflepuff as well, so we have that
you?
In common. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I tried to redo it. It didn't work.
Yeah. Me too. 3 times and still I was like, no. I'm just mediocre. Yeah. I'm Hufflepuff.
I know. Ernie McMillan.
You've got to embrace your Hufflepuff pride.
I'm working on it.
Go Badgers.
I'm working on it. I've opened it up to Malaysia. Yeah. That's what's happened now.
And I'm not surprised you're a Slytherin.
I'm all in black.
Yeah,
too,
I can see that. Yeah.
I just wish my hair a bit longer.
Yeah,
it's written all over your face. Okay, so you guys are here as part of Potted Potter. Why Potter, firstly?
Well, we were huge fans, and Britain doesn't have many heroes, to be honest. Usually, if you watch any Hollywood movies, the British guys are the villains. And we always lose, and we always end up getting killed by the heroes.
It's
and
true.
So it was nice to have this British hero we could get behind.
I like Richard III.
Yeah, but is he a hero?
How long ago was that?
He'll probably go to Slytherin if he would.
Yeah, he probably would.
It's true. And we did need a more modern hero than Richard III. Although he has resurfaced recently.
He has done.
He's back in the limelight.
Yeah. Was he ever out of it?
I don't think so.
Never really.
He was out of the sunlight. No one thought it was going to go straight on to Richard III.
Richard III.
I didn't see the first time.
Are you fans of both the books and the movies, or just one or the other? Did you start with one, move on to the other?
Yeah. I mean, we kind of grew up with the Harry Potter stories. I think it's part of British culture and British heritage now. It's kind of mandatory that you have to be part of the Harry Potter world. So for us, it's like, going back and visiting an old friend on a nightly basis.
Yeah. It's almost 20 years since it came under.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Hands up who feels old now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is often, I think, because the great thing about Harry Potter is it was 20 years ago. So if you were reading those when you were 10, you're now 30 and you've got your own kids and you're reading them to them. But these children will never know what it was like to have to wait for 2 years to know the next instalment. I mean, those were a tough 2 years to
Unless they've got really strict, authentic parents.
Keep it locked away.
Right, yes,
locked away for 2 years.
I waited 2 years, so will you.
You will wait for 2 years.
Well, I think... Have you been taking this on the road for a while now?
Yeah, this is actually its 10th year since it was born. Can I say that?
Wow.
Yes, since it was born.
Since it was created. And we started off in the UK and we toured around. We went into London's West End, which we thought, well, we can't get any better than this. And then they said, would you like to go to Canada? I said, okay. So we went to Canada. Then we went to New York and we did America. And now here we are in Malaysia and we're just waiting for someone to realise that we're just two friends messing around and immigration will send us home. Go, no, get out.
and Malaysia is part of your Southeast Asian tour, or is just Malaysia and then you're back?
No, this is Malaysia. There's only one place we wanted to go, and this was Malaysia, and so we've come here.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. This is our Malaysian premiere, isn't it?
It's our debut
in Malaysia. We're very excited.
Did you do the fringe circuit first before getting on to West End, Edinburgh?
Absolutely. We started off up in Edinburgh in Scotland. The show started in a 60-seater in a small church, which actually J.K. Rowling tried to come and see, and the show was sold out, and they turned her away. And we didn't realise until the end that she turned up to get a ticket, and they didn't recognise her and sent her away because we were sold out. So we now say wherever we are in the world, including Malaysia, we've got one ticket that we'll always hold for her in case she comes back, because you can't turn her away twice.
No, it just looks rude.
Yeah.
Turning her away once is a sign of, just good faith. All things being equal, twice is too much. So what is the show exactly? Is that a fair question? What are you covering?
Well,
it's about Harry Potter.
It is. It is about Harry Potter. End of summary.
Yeah, there you go. No. We attempt to do all 7 books in 70 minutes. It's just the two of us in it. So James plays Harry Potter. And I think Luckily, we're on radio, so no one can see. But he does look just like Daniel Radcliffe. It's uncanny.
Yes.
And when you walked in, I was shocked.
Yeah. Weren't you?
Didn't you think it was him for a moment?
Yeah. Here comes Radcliffe.
At 16,
slightly
at
more
12.
Attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
Exact thought.
And then that leaves me playing all 360 other characters. So I play everyone from Hermione to Voldemort to a fire-breathing dragon.
You mentioned that name. You mentioned that
he
name.
He who
on
shall
air.
Not be named. I'm sorry. I got,
thank you.
I was in the presence of a Slytherin. I know I was safe. It was okay.
So you kind of just play everyone else rotating around Harry?
Pretty much rotating.
Dan's definitely got the tough job of the show.
Which is amazing. I can come somewhere like here and eat whatever I want and then just burn it off every night. So it's amazing stuff. And we also have a live game of Quidditch right in the middle of the show where we bring people out of the audience, and we think it's the only place in the world you can come to the theatre and play Quidditch.
Yeah, nobody's challenged that yet. No. I think it's just
thing
us.
Is, and we've got snitches flying around, we've got brooms, children flying around, and only two children have died since we've started this
only
show,
two.
Which isn't a bad record.
Not bad.
And they weren't even very nice children,
they
those ones.
They weren't.
That's good.
So we got rid of a couple of bad ones.
No, it was in Texas. Mm. And
yeah,
no,
that was fine.
That's what you'd want.
But it's a very interactive show.
Yeah, exactly.
American kids,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, it's definitely not a show that you can sit in the darkness of the theatre and hope not to be
and
involved.
Sit back.
Yes.
And, yeah.
We do encourage our audience is the third member, so every show's different. I don't think two shows have ever been the same, have they? Because you never know what people are going to shout out, and you encourage them to. So if you want to come along and heckle us, feel free. We're ready.
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand that, you know, you get the audience to participate in the Quidditch game. But, you know, what do you do about the crowd scenes where where everybody is a named person, not just Quidditch players? You know, you have Hermione on one side and you have, what's the other guy's name with the red?
Ron.
And then Ron's twin brothers.
An under-celebrated hero, some might say.
Yes, he is indeed. Well, I have to run, is what happens there. So I literally have to run from one side to the other, as well as playing when they're up against the basilisk in the Chamber of Secrets.
Yes.
So there's Harry, then I'm Ginny, and I'm the snake, and I'm Ron, and I'm Hermione. But, you know, it's just a day's work for
me. If you want to see a grown man sweat, this is the show for you.
There you go.
You will see it
there's
live.
There's an interesting thing on our poster. Potted Potter, watch grown men sweat.
Yes.
There's a great tagline. Yeah.
This might be a personal question. What are you wearing?
What, now?
Now?
Well, right now, you know, for the benefit of the listeners. But
I have taken my pants off right now. I didn't think anyone would notice.
In general, though, I mean, what are you wearing? How are you, Hermione, and everybody
it's
else?
It's a lot of different sort of hats and cloaks, and we try and keep it as simple as we can. Like, Ron has this big, huge ginger afro wig, so immediately go, there's Ron Weasley, that's who he is. And so we try and keep it simple and creative, putting our own unique spin, if you will, on the characters.
Yes.
Yeah. Emma Watson did it one way, I've taken it another way, and some might say a better way.
I think you've got better legs.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of a taste of your Hermione?
My Hermione Granger is actually like this, and I'm Hermione Granger, and I'm an 11-year-old schoolgirl. I also work for the UN and give speeches about women, and I'm appearing in Beauty and the Beast next year.
And smoking too much.
Yes.
Yeah. It's husky. It's sexy.
It is. Hello, Ron.
Oh, see? Still gives me chills.
Yeah. Wasn't it like she was in the room?
It was.
It was crazy.
For everyone listening, that was me.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, right?
It wasn't Miss Watson.
No.
How do you work with all the existing imagery that's already out there when it comes to Harry Potter? Because everybody has this idea, right? I mean, so giant ginger afro Ron, you know, but you do have these very specific hallmarks of characters aside from just, you know, a lightning shaped scar.
Well, I think because we are very much a parody or a loving homage, what we never wanted to do was replicate what already exists. I mean, the late, great Alan Rickman is Professor Snape, and there is no way I'm going to try and do an impression of him doing Professor Snape. So we thought, well, let's take in a different direction. And when I read the books, in my head, he always had an Eastern European accent. And so in the show, he has an Eastern European accent. And I think that's allowed.
I think that seems fair.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely allowed.
Yeah.
So we do our own sort of personal spin on some of the characters. And it's a lot of fun. I think if you have read the books, you get to come and see a unique way of the retelling of the stories. And if, God forbid, you've never read the books, this is a great way to come and be introduced to the whole series and really sort of enjoy it. And I don't think you need to know everything about it, do you?
No. See?
Well, you, especially when you have kids who are coming in, well, the show is pitched at 6-year-olds and above.
Yeah.
So some of them, like, say, the Harry Potter series are 20 years old. So,
yeah,
you know,
so maybe
kids
they
might
and
not
this
know
means
a thing about
they
it.
Don't have to read the books or watch the films. So parents, easy money-making device, just buy one ticket to our show, covers everything.
Done.
Yeah.
Easy. We're talking today. We're talking today with Daniel Clarkson and James Percy, part of Potted Potter, and we're talking all things Harry Potter. Really continuing it after this. You're listening today to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined by Lim Soon Hing. And together we're speaking with Daniel Clarkson and James Percy of Potted Potter. And it's been really just all things nerd so far. I think it's fair to say.
Excuse me. Now, earlier you mentioned that at the Fringe, Rowling came to see her and you guys didn't let her in because she didn't have a ticket or that it was sold
that
out.
Wasn't our fault.
No,
yes. That wasn't our fault.
That's your version of the story. But I understand that she's quite protective of that brand and that if people were to use that brand, they would have to pay royalties. Perhaps she was there to collect something.
Yeah, well, that's why we're really in Malaysia. We're just hiding out from her. But we've had a great relationship with her and she can see that it comes from a place of love and she can see that we are two fans and very much nerds in ourselves. I was about to say closet geeks, but I don't think you're in the closet when you're doing a show about Harry Potter.
We're definitely out.
Yeah, but I think my danger wouldn't be Rowling so much as the other authentic Harry Potter fans. And these I've met globally of people and they come dressed up and they come with wands and they know everything to the last inch. They can quote the books from start to finish and they are armed with wands. And even if they don't all do magic, if they're stuck in the right place, it still hurts. So you have to be very careful and treat them with the greatest respect.
And how did you work that out when you were putting the story together? Because, I mean, or when you were deciding, okay, how do we do 7 books in 70 minutes? Because everyone has their favorites, right? Everyone has their moments. Everyone has these things that they love more than others. You know, how do you decide and how do you please everyone?
It's tough, isn't it? Because there are still characters that I wish that we could spend more time on. And
which ones? You've never said that. Ooh. I thought you were happy.
I would love.
Now it comes out.
I would love a whole musical number devoted to Gilderoy Lockhart.
All right, done. We're going to put that in.
Boom.
That's going to be
just
in
for
on
you,
Thursday
Malaysia.
When we open for Malaysia.
I'm there.
Yeah, there you go. If we don't put it in, then you've ruined it for everyone. But I think when we first wrote the show, it was about 7 books in 7 days was pretty much the amount of material we had. And we try and be as loyal as we can and get as much in. But often we do throw away a lot of plot and quite important character development just so that I can put on a silly hat and do a funny voice. So, you know, that's how we work,
That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
Followed the sequence of the books rather than the chronology of, you know, how he was born and then things happened to him and then he...
We try and... You're going to make us give too much away. You're going to have to wait and see. But we do try and follow sort of from one
book
to
by
two.
Book.
After that, we do 3.
Sometimes 4.
Sometimes 4. Sometimes we just miss 4 out. It depends how we're feeling.
Sure.
Yeah.
How much of it kind of got limited or expanded when you realized, okay, it's just going to be us two and we're going to have to figure out how to have 3 people having a conversation when there's only 2 of us or how we're going to do a massive war scene in Hogwarts when there's only 2 of us?
Oh, the war scene.
Yeah. Well, it's got less and less as Dan has got older. The physical aspects of the show have become less and less as Dan struggles with the Battle of Hogwarts.
Now I have to use my walking cane when I walk around. It's just not quite as rushed as it once was. And I think we do improvise a lot, which we've always allowed in the show, so that it is always different. I think we worked out recently, we've done this show nearly 2,000 times. So to really keep it fresh and keep it different, we try to sort of improvise and change things around. And if something goes wrong, we allow it to go wrong and it's fun so the audience can sort of join in with it. And we have a lot of topical references. And a topical reference 10 years ago is not as relevant today, so we try and update as much as we can and also update all the news that's happening with Harry Potter, like we have the cursed child coming into London. So that will probably feature in the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You feel like a cursed child often working with me, don't you?
Often I do. I wake up and feel like the cursed child in this beautiful working relationship.
And then I stroke your hair and you go back to sleep.
So you make references to what's happening. So what about Malaysia that you'll be able to infuse and weave into your Harry Potter Potter.
Well, we hear you have a Dark Lord in charge at the moment. So, yeah, we have
you
heard
said
rumor.
It, we did not.
We have heard, hey, I didn't say who, I just said
his name
he
must
who
not
shall
be
not
mentioned.
Be named. Yes, exactly, yes. Exactly. Yeah. So we have heard this. Yeah, I'm never going to be seen again.
No.
I'm going to take it back to kind of safer aisles.
Please,
you know,
take it back.
Okay.
Save me.
So have you worked in things like The Nomad and, you know, Dumbledore being gay, things like that? Do those get worked in, you know, sort of the Harry Potter world outside of the published
books? Oh, yeah. When that was released, that news story about Dumbledore being gay, he did come on singing I Am What I Am from Carjo Fall and did a big glitzy number.
Lovely.
But what we did find is it got a great reaction, but as time went on, people forgot it. And then there was something else that came into the headlines, so we changed that. And,
yeah.
And as we said, we do have Hermione talking about her speech at the UN, as Emma Watson did. So as things happen with any of the characters or with the actors, we try and keep update. I think Harry did Equus for a while, didn't he, when Daniel Radcliffe was doing that?
Yes, Harry did Equus.
He wanted to dance naked with horses.
Dance naked with horses.
I thought he did.
Yeah,
he did.
I'm a very devoted actor. Whatever is called for, I will do it.
Yeah,
for the sake of art.
That was an interesting show.
Where the people want
Dublin
me to or
in
or
Ireland,
not.
Wasn't it? That one. They'll never forget that.
When you're born looking like Daniel Radcliffe, you do what you do.
It's tough, you know? Isn't it?
I find the same born looking like Johnny Depp as I was. It's tough.
Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Yeah, can you all see that?
Yeah, I mean, I can with some imagination.
Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, we all have pretty active imagination. Give us a taste of what we'll see when we walk into, before you even step on stage, what will we see as your set?
Go and give a taste.
Yeah.
Oh, give a taste. Well, it's all really left as a mystery when the audience first come in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all sort of over sheets and it's shrouded. As you walk in through the dim mist and you hear the music playing, and it's not quite the Harry Potter film music because we couldn't afford the copyright, so it's a different
more
type
like
of
Halloween.
Music. Yes, but it's mysterious. And then you'll notice that everything's covered in sheets and one man sits alone on the stage.
Yes, that's
reading.
My time to read the books very, very quickly. Yeah. And get myself completely prepared to do all of them very, very quickly.
But I will be there to greet you because I do like to say hello to every member of the audience before we start. So I'm there.
That is a thing Dan does wherever we go. For every show, he will say hello to every member of the audience before
all
we start.
500.
All 500.
All 500.
I will get round everyone.
Yeah.
That's the show in itself, actually. I just do that for 70 minutes. I shake everyone's hand, then we all go.
And do impressions.
And do very bad impressions while you read a book.
It's it.
Yeah.
That's thrilling.
Yeah, isn't it?
Just hearing it.
You can hear people now going, oh, we must get a ticket to this. This sounds amazing.
How much is there for somebody who really is a Harry Potter virgin? You know, for somebody who truly has no idea, for whom, in fact, this very interview has been incomprehensible.
Well, I think... that's just our accent.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry about that. No, I think that's what's exciting for us, is the show is, and has always been, something... that was intended for the whole family to be able to enjoy. So whether it's, you know, brother and sister who know the whole stories inside out, have read every book, have seen every film, know what house they're in, or whether it's for uncle or dad who hasn't read a single page and knows nothing, I think at the heart of it, it's a comedy about two guys desperately trying to do something like tell all stories in 70 minutes. And it's whether we can get through it or not. So I think there's something in there for everybody.
Yeah, and I do remember, and this must have been Canada, I had a dad come up to me afterwards and thank me, as he said for the first time he knew what his children were talking about at the breakfast table, and he wasn't going to tell them off for using the word snitch, and it's not a curse word. He now got it and he understood it. And it's amazing sort of the eclectic mix of people we get. Like, I think sometimes we have an audience full of students all in their early 20s, and then we have an audience of families and kids, and they can all mix together and everyone's getting something different. And I'll never forget, I made a reference about Justin Bieber and watching a 12-year-old boy explained to his grandmother who Justin Bieber was, and she was like, oh right, yes, and laughed along with that. And so it's good to watch sort of jokes for the adults, some for the kids, and they're all explained to each other.
And what's really good is usually wherever we go, the fans dress up, they go for it. We have audience come in the full Hogwarts uniform, and It's great. For us, it's like looking out and doing the show in the Great Hall.
Yeah.
With house colours.
Oh, exactly.
I'm a bit lost in this conversation. In which series, or which book did Justin Bieber appear in?
Did you not see him in it? It's a hidden Easter egg.
If you don't, really?
It's only for the real dedicated
Dang,
fans.
Dang, I missed that.
You know, yeah.
It's also imagination, Sinhing. You know, you talk a good game, but you need to be able to imagine Justin Bieber.
It's less than a Harry Potter was a Belieber. That is a lesser known
He'd
fact.
He'd be a Slytherin.
Here we are. Who, Justin Bieber?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%.
And he'd die in the end battle and no one would care.
He'd die first.
Yeah.
You know, I've just stopped being able to predict who would be what ever since I became a Hufflepuff, really. Yeah. That was a shaking of the faith.
Hey, I'm proud to be Hufflepuff. Stand tall and strong.
I need to work towards that. Yeah.
Cedric Diggory was Hufflepuff and he got...
Look what happened to him.
He was a sparkly vampire. Look, that went well, didn't it?
It didn't end too badly, did it?
Yeah.
In the long term. Although, having said it didn't end too badly, the Potter story towards the end does get really dark. I mean, we're talking about, you know, unremembered deaths happening in wartime.
Yeah.
How do you make that funny? Or, you know, do you embrace the pathos and just roll with it?
Thank you for just looking at me there, Dan.
How do we make that funny? Well, I think we try and put our own spin on it. And because obviously there's that amazing graveyard scene where Cedric Diggory... Oh, spoiler alert. Something happens to Cedric. Who knows if you haven't read the book? Anyway, there's that scene. And there's just
Dobby.
Two of us on stage. You just said the D
Dobby.
Word.
That's one of the hardest to get
sorry,
over.
But there is Dobby.
Yeah, there is Dobby. That was tough.
That one's really tough.
But I think we try and do it in sort of a fun, different way, and we try and keep...
Yeah.
I'm trying to say how we do this without giving too much away.
Let's just say that we add a little theatrical glamour to the deaths.
Yeah.
And I suppose a little touch of showbiz makes them a little more bearable.
Yeah. Mm. And Dobby's death, it happens. I mean, you get to watch it.
You do get to watch it.
But in a way where you go, ah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, never mind, eh?
Yeah.
So it's going to help me with my grief.
Definitely.
Will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're essentially counsellors.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, to help you with your grief through the Potter deaths.
Yeah.
Apart from the Weasley twin, he's just dead.
No, this is not the only thing that you're working on. You also have this thing called Potter Sherlock.
Yes, where we attempt to do all 60 Sherlock Holmes stories in 70 minutes. Basically, what we do is we take other people's work and we condense them down. So that's our job. My mum's really proud. She tells everyone I'm a lawyer. So that's great. But yes, so this was our latest show that just it did Edinburgh, and it's just come back from its US tour. And that one, there's three of us who do that, and we try and do all 60 stories, which was too many. We got greedy. It was too many.
You were performing in that also.
Oh, yeah.
So in between shows in KL, so
often I have to walk on stage and feel what hat I'm wearing and go, oh, it's a deerstalker, right, I'm Sherlock, I'll do that. Oh, it's a wizard hat, today I'm, you know, Dumbledore. So it's literally about who we want to dress up as. So we wanted to dress up as wizards. We also used to do a show called Potted Pirates because we wanted to dress up as pirates. As in Pirates of the Caribbean, and Johnny Depp.
Oh, I thought...
See?
There it is. Look at that segue.
See where I was going with that?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. In the presence of professionals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, to close off then, easy sell, who should come for Potter?
Everybody.
Everybody. All of you. You listening now.
Even if you're not listening.
You could pull out your wand and cast a spell.
We could.
In fact, if you're listening to it in the car, wind your window down, then other people can hear.
Oh,
and then they'll come and they'll go, what is that strange accent? I feel we should follow them.
Turn around to the car next to you and give a thumbs up, and that will be the universal sign that you too are coming to Potted Potter.
Yeah. But I think, whether you're... Anyway, we'll answer the question seriously now. I think whether you're a Harry Potter fan or for some reason you've hidden under a rock and don't know anything, there is literally something for everyone. It's great fun to come down, a live game of Quidditch. We've got fire-breathing dragons. We've got James Percy. We've got me. I mean, if that's not enough of a draw, it's money well spent.
Potted Potter is a parody or a loving homage, depending on where you're standing. Plays this weekend. It starts tomorrow, Thursday, June 2nd, and it will run through till Sunday at KL Pack Pentas 1. Showtimes tomorrow and Friday at 8:30 p.m. and then two shows on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. and then two shows on Sunday at 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. where you can watch grown men sweat.
There's the tagline.
Put it on the poster.
Hashtag blessed.
Tickets are priced at 100 ringgit, 160 and 200 ringgit, not inclusive of GST and a 3 ringgit ticketing fee. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you
so
much for having us.
We've been speaking today with Daniel Clarkson and James Percy of Pottet Potter. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.